All right. Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So welcome back. This is our first shiur since Pesach, and I wanted to use this as an opportunity to focus a little bit on the interesting topic of Halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut. You know, as I always mention, unfortunately, the celebration of Yom Ha'atzmaut often brings out, instead of being a unifying force, it often seems to be something that separates and creates divides. So what I'd like to really try to do tonight a little bit is just to analyze the issue. Without, again, and the goal is, like most times, is to go ahead and indicate Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim, an idea that ultimately, again, we'll see that this is not just simply a hashkafic debate, it's not a religious Zionism debate. It's not whether you love Eretz Yisrael, don't love Eretz Yisrael, love Am Yisrael, love the army, don't love the army. But we're going to see that this is a real halachic debate, which is centered and focused on incredible core issues, which again we will see far preceded the establishment of the state of Israel. So just to understand what we're talking about, although you all know it. So when we speak about Yom Ha'atzmaut, we speak about again Heiyar. This year again we celebrated a day earlier because not to celebrate on Erev Shabbos, but it represents the day in which the Ben-Gurion declared the State of Israel, just a couple of hours before the official British mandate over Palestine was to end. You know, there's an incredible, the history of that declaration is quite incredible. Actually, Michael Langbaum had given me a set of two sermons that speak about the actual historical events surrounding Yom Ha'atzmaut, and it's quite amazing to read about Ben-Gurion's incredible tension before he went ahead and declared the state. The United States, the State Department was placing incredible pressure not to declare the State of Israel. So it's really an incredible and amazing day. When you read about the first Yom Ha'atzmaut, just the incredible sense of celebration, but yet the incredible understanding, the foreboding understanding that danger was lurking. And we know again, and we'll discuss this, that immediately upon the declaration of independence for Israel, so ultimately again Eretz Yisrael or Medinat Yisrael was plunged into immediate regional conflict. So I just want to point out an interesting historical point, because you know, as often occurs, perspective changes over time. If you take a look at number one on your sheet, and I apologize, am I okay? I apologize for the quality of it, but I just wanted to show you this. This is a letter from the Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael, signed, quote unquote, by the... Sorry, am I good? Thank you. Signed by the Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael, and again, you can see the date over here is Tafshin Tes. So this is the year after Israel declares its independence. So we're not going to look at this whole letter, because the truth is it's almost impossible to read. I apologize for the quality, but I just want to give you the opening lines. It says, Das Torah Dvar Rabboni Yisrael al Am Hashem B'tzion. So look how the letter starts. Noda la Hashem al shezachinu barov rachamov vechasadov harishonim shel aschalta digeula. Thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let us give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that through His incredible compassion, incredible kindness, we have been privileged to see literally the nitzotzim harishonim, the first sparks of aschalta digeula, of the beginning of redemption, im hakamas shel medinas Yisrael, with the establishment of the State of Israel. Me'is Hashem haisa zos. This was an event that occurred from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, laharos lanu, ki egia shas ratzon hamechuyeves, osono lavro le'ezras Hashem, So it's time, this was a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's time to come back to the land, it's time to re-energize the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Kedei she'artzenu u'medinasenu tibane u'tichonen al taras HaKodesh. And the goal is to rebuild the State of Israel, to rebuild Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, in a state of incredible Kiddusha. And the rest of the letter goes on to extol the incredible miracle that occurred with the establishment of the state. Who are the signatories on this letter? So I underlined a few of them for you. Harav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was the Rav of Yerushalayim. Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, who again, now he was the Shiva of Merkaz HaRav. Okay, so you could say Merkaz HaRav, he was the Talmud Mufak, the primary disciple of Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. But if you look down a little bit, there are Rebbes on here, Rav Zalman Sirotskin of Yerushalayim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha was on here. So what clearly occurred historically is often what occurs with the Jewish people, which is that when magnificent things occur, everyone sees, bless you, the divine providence and the Yad Hashem. And then as time goes on, the miraculous nature of certain things ebbs away. And that's clearly what's happened. When the establishment, when the estate was first established, there was widespread support. Now again, it doesn't mean everybody's saying halal, as we'll discuss, and it doesn't mean everybody's declaring it as a yomtiv, but it was clear that there was understanding that the establishment of the state of Israel was nothing short of miraculous. So what happened? What happened? Now again, there's such a profound divide between what we call, I mean, there's too many communities in Eretz Yisrael to really keep track of, right? There's Dati and Chardal and Shemardal and this one. In one respect, I will say it's something that the Jews of Eretz Yisrael can learn from us, Baruch Hashem, that we have the ability to, thank God, live much more harmoniously and side by side with all types of people, something that Emirat Hashem diaspora Jewry could Emirat Hashem give to Eretz Yisrael Jewry. In any event, what happened? What changed? So again, it could very well be that just time goes by, perspective changes. There's also something else. Remember, this letter was written in the first year after the establishment of the state. The state was new, and everyone had dreams and aspirations for the state. And what ends up happening, inevitably, some of those dreams and aspirations materialize, and many of them do not. Many of them do not. And by the way, even the most ardent of Zionists will tell you that the state of Israel is far from a lechatchila. The state, meaning the government of Israel, the structure of the state of Israel, the way the Israel Defense Forces are set up, all incredible things. But if you're looking from it from a Torah prism, from a religious spectrum, it is absolutely far from ideal. And that is why, again, it's important to understand that even if one is living in Eretz Yisrael, and I know this is going to sound like a very dramatic statement, it's still galus. It's still diaspora as well. It's a much better diaspora. But until Mashiach comes and until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt and until, again, Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael returns to what it's supposed to be, there is still an element of exile that's inherent even if one is privileged to walk on the holy soil of Eretz Yisrael. Now again, that's not to be compared with the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a separate and distinct entity than Medinat Yisrael. Medinat Yisrael is a political or geopolitical construct. It's a governmental form. Eretz Yisrael is the land of Israel. Eretz Yisrael defies government, not defies governments, that's the wrong word. But Eretz Yisrael is above a political system. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is something that is timeless, and that no one disputes. You know, if you remember again last year, when we spoke a little bit about whether or not the founding of the state of Israel is the Geula or not, according from the Satmar Rebbe was the greatest antagonist of the state of Israel. To this day, Satmar is vehemently against the state of Israel. Vehemently. But again, don't confuse that. Don't confuse being anti-Zionist with being anti-Israel. Again, Satmar has many institutions in Eretz Yisrael, provides much money to Eretz Yisrael. This is a very important point to make this distinction sometimes between the state and the land. A person could have many problems with the state. No one has problems with the land. The land is inherently Kaddish. The land is inherently holy. The land is inherently good. So I'm just pointing this out, how in the year after the establishment of the state, everyone's on board with this dramatic vision. And then what happened over the last 69 years? So over the last 69 years, some dreams materialized, some did not. So some still maintained a fidelity and allegiance to the concept of Medinat Yisrael, and others walked away. Others felt that it was simply a failed experiment. We tried to establish a Jewish democratic country, didn't work, because at the end of the day, democracy trumped religiosity, which is true on many of it's important for us to acknowledge this. You know, sometimes we're speaking amongst friends. People think that to be a religious Zionist means that you have to agree with everything that happens in the state of Israel. It's not true. It's not true. You could be an incredible Zionist and you could be an incredible Oif Tzion, but there are many things that are problematic and there are many things that are broken and there are many things that need to be retooled if one day Eretz Yisrael is going to be a homeland for Am Yisrael. That being said, we also recognize the incredible brachas we have that we haven't had for 2,000 years. It's this incredible balance between on one hand being happy for something that we haven't had for so long, but at the same time going with eyes open and recognizing that which is good and that which requires a bit of improvement. Everyone starts out optimistic, but as time goes on, again, kind of people recede into their own corners. Some still feeling that the Medina is Aschalta de Geula, really the beginning, and more than just the beginning. We'll see Rav Tzida Kohen Kok says it's not the beginning. It's like the beginning was hundreds of years ago. This is already a further step, and others saying it's nice, it's good, but has absolutely nothing to do with Jewish redemption. I'll show you just another historical footnote on this. Take a look at number two. So this is an incredible letter from the chief rabbi. If you take a look at number two, so you can see the introduction over here. So this is from Rav Herzog. At the founding of the State of Israel, two chief rabbis were Rav Herzog and Rav Uziel. Rav Herzog was, I think, was originally the chief rabbi of Dublin, of Ireland. He was the Ashkenazic chief rabbi, and Rav Uziel was the Sephardic chief rabbi. So remember, Yom HaAtzmaut is not... State of Israel is declared in 1948, but Yom HaAtzmaut is not made a quote-unquote legal holiday until 1949. So the Knesset passes a law that Yom HaAtzmaut is an official holiday. What does that mean? What does that mean? Right? So we know, same thing as legal holiday here. So government offices are closed, places of business are closed, schools are closed, it's a day of national celebration. The government then comes to the chief rabbinate and says, and this is amazing, it also tells you a difference in the times, the government said, we don't want this to just be a legal holiday, we want this to be a Yom Tov as well. The government wanted a religious component in Yom HaAtzmaut. The government comes to the chief rabbinate and says, okay, we established the legal holiday. It's your job now to figure out how to make it into a religious holiday. So if you take a look, so they came to Rav Herzog. So you have to understand something. The amazing part about this is, when this question came up, when was the last time a question like this was asked? Hanukkah. Was the last time this question was asked. Should we establish a new Yom Tov or not? The last time this question was asked was over 2,000 years earlier, Hanukkah. So you have to understand something. So the chief rabbinate of the fledgling state of Israel is asked a fundamental question. We want to establish, we have a legal holiday, that's already on the books. Yom HaAtzmaut is a legal holiday, Israel Dependence Day, we'd like it to be a Yom Tov, make it happen. So Rav Uziel and Rav Herzog are faced with this question. And again, so look at this. Look what Rav Herzog wrote the following. He says, if you look in number two, the second paragraph, Hamifanei Yisodi Shechal Bechemlas Hashem Aleinu LaHatzalasinu Liftus Nafshenu Imachrozas Atzmusinu Baaretz. So Rav Herzog writes, the fact that we were given a homeland, the fact that ultimately we weren't given, that we took a homeland, and that ultimately we were given our freedom, Mechayiv Osanu Lekayim Ula Kabel Aleinu Ledoros, Es Yom Hachrozas Medinas Yisrael, Hu Yom Hei Bi'ir, Shebechol Shana Liom Simcha, Shelaschalta Digeula Leklal Yisrael. So Rav Herzog, this was again the first official chief rabbinate of the state of Israel, says Yom HaAtzmaut has to be observed as a Yom Tov. Has to be observed as a Yom Tov. What's the nature of the Yom Tov? It's a simcha shelaschalta digeula leklal Yisrael. It is a simcha marking the beginning of the redemption for klal Yisrael. Ulahotzias hayom shebo nasa hanis agodlaze mechla min hagi avelo shel siras haomer. Here Rav Herzog says something amazing. Remember again, Heiyar, as we know, is in the middle of Sira. Now here's the amazing part. Not only is it in the middle of Sira, but what? It's in the period of Sira that what? That everyone observes. Remember again, this is the period of time which every first half, second half, middle half, third half, whatever half you're holding, right? Everyone is pretty much observing the minhag, the nihugi avelos, the morning practices now. Rav Herzog says, this is a Yom Tov, and therefore by definition, the laws or the minhagim of Svira are suspended. Are suspended. He goes on, Imatan horas letfilas hodaya udrashos me'in hama'ole bebate knesios betfilas mincha. And again, interestingly enough, he says, and we should incorporate tfilos of thanksgiving, drashos, shiurim in all of the shuls. Now, if you notice, what doesn't he say? He doesn't say hello, which is interesting. We're going to discuss that in just a little bit because there are other forms of correspondence. But I just want to point out just the enormity of the question that the chief rabbinate was faced with, a question that had not been asked for 2,000 years beforehand. We want to establish a Yom Tov. What should we do? And by the way, when you read the accounts of the first Yom HaAtzmaut that was observed in 1949. So you see these, and you see pictures of it, of Rav Herzog leading tefillos in Yeshurun, and everyone's there. Ben Gurion is there. Everyone is there. And the truth is, it looks like, you would think it's like the Mir Yeshiva. Everybody's in suits and hats, and everybody look. It's just amazing. And again, religious, non-religious, everyone was gathered together to mark the Yom Tov aspect of Yom HaAtzmaut. So if Herzog comes along and says, this day requires a spiritual response, this day is a Yom Tov. Okay. The question, of course, is how is it observed as Yom Tov? So if Herzog already said that he believed that the laws, the morning practices of Sira should be suspended, that there should be a celebratory davening, although he doesn't tell us exactly what that means, and there should be Shiurim and Drushas. So what we're going to now focus on is, what about Hallel? One thing we know is that there's a dispute. So what's the nature of the dispute of the recitation of Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut? So amazingly enough, and this is one of the most incredible things about Yiddishkeit, is that any question we have always goes back to the Gemara. So if you want to know about Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut, we go back to the Gemara. So very simple, the Gemara always gives us principles. What are the principles for the recitation of Hallel? Let's take a look at number 3. The Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Hallel Zem Mi Amru. Who said Hallel? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Moshe v'Yisrael Amura b'shash sha'amdu al hayam. Moshe Rabbeinu Klal Yisrael said it at the time that we stood at the sea. So just as an aside, the first recorded episode of National Hallel is Kriyas Yamsuf. It's the splitting of the sea when Klal Yisrael was in mortal danger from Mitzrayim, saved from their Egyptian pursuers. Waves come crashing down. Klal Yisrael is saved. They recite Hallel. Look at the last two lines, number 3. So the Gemara says, V'chacham momrim, neviim shebeineyem tiknu lahem liYisrael, shiu omrim also al kol perek uperek, v'al kol tzara v'tzar shal tavo aleim liYisrael, u'cheshenek alin omrim also al geulasan. So essentially the Gemara says, what is the principle for Hallel? The principle for Hallel is, if Klal Yisrael is in danger, and then we are saved, that is cause for Hallel. Essentially, what happened by Yam Suf is the paradigmatic framework for Hallel. The Jewish people are in danger, and we are saved from that danger. We recite Hallel. Okay.
According to that, we should say Hallel on
farm. Oh, so remember, the Gemara asked that question. The Gemara asked that question, so the Gemara gives another answer. The Gemara says that the Megillah is Kriyasa Zuhi Lula, Megillah is Hallel. The Gemara also says that, remember, Purim is a little bit different, because by Purim, at the end of the story, Akati Avde Achashverosh Anan. We were not independent. We were still under the rule of a despotic, unpredictable king. So take a look at number 5. Tosis comments on this. If you look at the last two lines, Tosis says, Tichi Lecha Kol Yisrael in Gomrin Oso, Ela Be'ilu Hayamin. So Tosis's opinion is that when do we say Hallel? Only if Klal Yisrael was saved. Only if Klal Yisrael was saved. In other words, what happens if you have, and we're going to discuss this case, what happens if you have a community that was in danger, and the community was saved? What do they do about Hallel? So it appears, based on Tosis, that Tosis's opinion is, the license for Hallel is only when there is national danger. If Klal Yisrael is in danger, and Klal Yisrael is saved, then we recite Hallel. What happens if an individual, right, if an individual ultimately, again, is in danger, then what? So again, you could always say Hallel, what he calls engomimosa. Engomimosa means you don't say complete Hallel, which means what? You effectively say Tehillim. So if you're an individual and you experience some type of life-threatening situation on the day that you were saved, you could always say Tehillim, but Hallel, as part of a Yom Tov, is only when Klal Yisrael, and again, how you define Klal Yisrael we'll discuss, Klal Yisrael was in danger, and Klal Yisrael was saved. Says the Me'iri in number 6, Kol Yochid She'iru et Tzara V'nigal Imeno. So the Me'iri says as follows, what happens if an individual was in danger, and he was redeemed? Rashai likvoa Hallel la'atzmo ba'osa yom b'chol shana. So the Me'iri says, if let's say again, I was in mortal danger, I had a situation, I was in mortal danger, and I was saved. That day for me becomes a Yom Tov. This is an individual. That day becomes a Yom Tov, and I could recite Hallel as well, except Ela she'eno mevarech alav. However, I don't say a bracha. I'm just pointing out the progression over here. So the Gemara says, anytime that Klal Yisrael was in danger and saved from danger, we recite Hallel. Tosa says, that's only if Klal Yisrael is saved, then we say Hallel. The Me'iri says, if an individual is saved, he can also say Hallel. He can say complete Hallel, but what? Hallel without a bracha. V'chein hadin b'chol tzibur v'tzibur, Kach Yisod Nevi'im Lo'omra Kol Tzor V'Tzor Shnang Amaru. Now the Meiri says something amazing. The Meiri says that when the Gemara says that if the Tzibor, ultimately again, if a congregation was in danger and were saved, they could also say Halal. But according to the Meiri, they say Halal without a bracha. The only time we say Halal with a bracha, according to the Meiri, is when? Is on the days that were organized by Chazal. When Chazal tells in the Gemara to say Halal, that's when we say Halal and a bracha. Any other day, so whether you're an individual or you're some smaller group than Klal Yisrael, if you experienced a salvational event, you can and you should say Halal. But, without a bracha. Now, I'll show you something interesting. If you take a look at number 7, so this is from the Shalas Tshuvas Chaim Shal, this is from the Chidah, Rav Chaim David Azulai. So look at this question that he deals with, and you're going to see why it's important for our discussion. B'din Amiras Hal, number 7, B'din Amiras Hal, B'nei Shanasa Letzibor, fine. Sheila. So look at paragraph Aleph. Sheila. Ir echad shenaasa liyisrael meis echad shenitzolo mitzarasam. V'tiknu sheis anu asar yechidim u'balayla yomru kol akal halal gomer. Achar yurches. V'chein b'yom achar chazar samida nishalti migdolei akal akolish ishapridim avarachi. So the Chidah doesn't tell us what the circumstances are, but there was a particular community, a particular city, that apparently, again, was facing existential danger of extermination. They were saved. They were saved. So now they want to say halal, both by night and by day. So they wrote to the Chidah, is it appropriate for us to do that? There was a salvational event. We were in danger. We were saved. We want to say halal. So the Chidah writes as follows. Look at the last three lines of paragraph base. Va'ala ali bilomar. The Efshar, so here's what's interesting, is the Chidah notes, well, the Gemara seems to say, that anytime Klal Yisrael is in danger, faces the threat of extermination, and are then saved, that what? That you could say halal. Based on that, the Chidah says, it would appear that this city not only can, but should say halal to mark their day of salvational activity. The Chidah makes an interesting observation. He says, however, the Rif and the Rambam, two of the early halachic codifiers, no one codifies this halacha. The Rambam does not bring down this concept in Mishnah Torah. So the Chidah therefore writes, Va'ala ali bilomar, last three lines, Va'ala ali bilomar, de'efshar de'savri de'harif ha'rambam barash, de'takonas nevi'im ha'isa kishenas ha'neis l'chol Yisrael dafka. So the Chidah says something amazing. The Chidah seems to side a little bit with the Meiri as well, that when do we say that if a salvational event occurred, we say complete halal with a bracha? That's only if an event occurred to Klal Yisrael. To the majority of... By the way, when we say Klal Yisrael by definition has to mean what? Right? It doesn't mean 100%. Right? So it must ultimately mean whether it's 51% or what you call aruba de minkar, some type of larger number, but it's certainly not 100%. So therefore the Chidah writes, he says that the only time we institute halal for a salvational event is only when kishena'asa hanes l'chol Yisrael dafka. When the miracle was performed for all of Klal Yisrael. Aval ata, ki hein ba'avon amiso mefuzar umefurat, v'yisrachish nisa l'kal Yisrael shebe'ir achos, bazeh lo tiknu nevi'im lomar halal. So the Chidah says something amazing. When is there a din of halal? Only when a miracle occurs to all of Klal Yisrael. If a miracle occurs for a particular city, could they mark that day as a yomtiv? Could they mark it as a yomtiv? Sure. Can they recite halal? Yes, but no bracha. No bracha. So this becomes the famous psak of the Chidah, which is going to be very important for our conversation going forward. So the Chidah says essentially any event that is not a salvational event for all of Klal Yisrael, you need to mark it as a yomtiv, you need to celebrate it as a yomtiv, you can even recite halal, but without a bracha. Okay, that pretty much is the best. So now, what we've just there's a lot more, but just for the sake of our shiur tonight, I'm trying to condense a little bit. So this is kind of the Talmudic background of the halal discussion. We have a Gemara that gives us a principle. The principle is, when Klal Yisrael faces existential danger and are saved, that is reason for halal. What does that mean? A machlokes harishonim and achronim. So you have Tosas saying, Tosas and the Meiri, both of them saying this is only true, and really the Chidah. This is really only true if the salvational event occurred to all of Klal Yisrael. If it just occurred to a city or just occurred to an individual, should you mark that salvational event? Absolutely. You can even say Hallel. Just can't say a bracha. So now we come to the more contemporary opinion. So there are a number of different halachic opinions on this, and I'm going to try to break it down into four camps. So first we start with Rav Avadji Yosef. Rav Avadji Yosef, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, writes the following. Number 8. There's a lot more to this tshuva than what I went ahead and put on the sheet, but at least this will give you the conceptual overview. He says, Amarati Vezbonin, Im Yesh Lomar Halal Bebracha Biyom Hei Bi'ir. By the way, I'll just say another interesting fact about the first Yom HaAtzmaut, which is quite interesting. The first Yom HaAtzmaut fell out like it falls out this year. Hey, Iyar was Erev Shabbos. Hey, Iyar was Erev Shabbos. So, you know, it's interesting. The Rabbanut does not have, Yom HaAtzmaut is never observed either on a Friday or on a Sunday, out of concern that it may lead to an unnecessary Chil Shabbos, unnecessary Shabbos desecration. So it's just interesting that the original Yom HaAtzmaut, of course, was on a Friday. But that's, remember, again, that's because it was not exactly, you know, a planned legal celebration, right? Remember, again, as I said before, the British are about to pull out. Ben-Gurion and the provisional government are getting pressure from everyone not to declare statehood. They take an incredible leap of faith and they declare statehood. They couldn't choose the date. The date was what it was. But in the actual present day observance of Yom HaAtzmaut, the Rabbanut legislated that it never bumps up against Shabbos. So Rav Avadji Yosef asked the following question. So Hei Iyar, which was established as Israel Independence Day, do we say Hallel or not? Do we say Hallel or not? Well, he's asking, do we say Hallel the Bracha or not? So look what he writes. Paragraph 1. So Rav Avadji Yosef says something amazing. He says, Umihu, Nechevan shekama alafem meachinu beis Yisrael nergu, bemarchus Yisrael Hashem yukom damam, ein lonu likboa amiras halal bebracha. Rav Avadji Yosef says something so amazing. He says, the declaration of the state was an incredible thing. I want to point out, Rav Avadji Yosef is not in any way diminishing from the fact that he believes, and he says it, that the establishment of the state of Israel is Yad Hashem. So he says, let's remember what happened after the state was declared. The state was declared, and what happened? What happened? There was war. Thousands of Jews died. Thousands of men, women, and children died. Rav Avadji Yosef says, it doesn't make sense. And again, this is the incredible, what's riveting to me about this is, Rav Avadji Yosef is saying it's almost like the dialectic of the Jewish people. This constant tension between simcha and that velos, between happiness and triumph, and on the other hand, tragedy and despair. So we declared the state, incredible thing, but that created dramatic regional conflict through which thousands lost their lives. Umikol Shekin, he says, so number one, he says, I don't think you should recite. I don't think you should go ahead and recite Hallel with a bracha on a day, ultimately, again, that marked the beginning of so much incredible bloodshed. Necessary bloodshed, Kiddush Hashem bloodshed, but bloodshed nevertheless. Umikol shekein, shatarich hei'ar shuchras al medinas Yisrael k'medina ribonit va'atzma'it, eino yom shenigalu mitzarasam. He raises something very interesting. He says, what is hei'ar? Hei'ar is the day in which independence was declared. Is it the day that Klal Yisrael was saved? And the answer to that is no. In fact, he says, Kihari ha-melchama nimshecha achar kach, b'yaser se'is, v'rabim chalolem hipila, v'atzumim kol haroga, v'achroza shevisas ha-neshek, ha-yisib yom acher. There was an armistice, right? There was a ceasefire sometime later on. V'gam la'achar mikan naflu chalolem ayde ayvenu, ha-makifim al-sanak yikusla le'ugya. So Rav Avadji Yosef says something very amazing. He says, first of all, the declaration of the state, again, was the first step in regional conflict. There was war. Thousands died. Furthermore, Hey Iyar is not a day of salvation. Hey Iyar is a, now again, I want to be clear, Rav Avadji Yosef, I can't say it enough, was, this is about Hallel with a bracha. As we're going to see, it's not about Hallel. It's about Hallel with a bracha. Hallel, Rav Avadji Yosef says, is a given. We'll discuss this. It's Hallel with a bracha. So he says, what is Hey Iyar? Hey Iyar is not the day of our salvation. Hey Iyar was an incredible day of incredible and overwhelming Jewish courage. But it wasn't necessarily a day of salvation. One could perhaps argue that salvation comes maybe after we win the war. He goes on, he says, ואף שהיידי אחרוזס המדינה, יוכלנו אחר כך לקלוט עולים חדשים, ולקבץ גוליוסים מארצות ערב מדינות אירופה, שרידי חרב פליטי השואה, and even through the declaration, ultimately, the borders of Israel are opened up, and are able to absorb Jews from all over the world, מכל מקום אין השמחה שלמה. This is Rav Avadji Yosef's operative concept. Ein ha-simcha shlema. The simcha is not complete. Is Yom Ha'atzmaut a dramatically important day? Unequivocally, yes. Unequivocally, yes. Does it satisfy the criteria, the Talmudic criteria for halal? For halal with the bracha? Rav Avadji Yosef says no. It's not a day of salvation. A day of courage, yes. A day of salvation, no. The proof to that is that, again, we were plunged into war. Thousands died. Maybe sometime later on could be marked as the day of salvation when we won the war. He goes on, V'agam shomar b'brachas, amru lo meis aviv. So look, skip down a few lines. It says, Mikol makom ein lekabal ledoros halal b'bracha, mekevan shasimcha mehula bituga. Therefore, Avadji Yosef says, I do not believe it is appropriate to say halal with a bracha, because literally the simcha is interspersed with mourning. The simcha is, you know, it struck me, by the way, that how it's interesting that the observance in Eretz Yisrael almost is the exact opposite of the historical events, right? In Eretz Yisrael, it's Yom HaZikaron, then Yom HaTzvot, which from a logical level there's the logic behind that is, because you have to first recognize the sacrifice before you go ahead and you celebrate the gift. From a historical perspective, it's almost as if it's Yom HaTzmaut and then Yom HaZikaron. There was the Declaration of Independence, and then again, there were overwhelming battles. There was an incredible loss of life. So Rav Avadji Yosef says, is there simcha? Of course there's simcha. But it's simcha shrouded, and it's simcha, you know, I was just, remember, when you read, by the way, just some of the accounts of bereaved parents, if you know the shuls, we sent out the video today from the Yom HaZikaron One Family Fund. And if you have, it's a shorter clip, it's over an hour, but we just it's an 11 minute. It's so incredible to watch it, because you see families, again, who come to the Yom HaZikaron programs. They don't go to Yom HaTzmaut celebration afterwards. They don't, because their lives are avelos. Their lives are broken, their families are broken. And the Yom HaTzmaut celebrations just simply reinforce all that which they have lost. It's a real dynamic. Rav Avadji Yosef says, how could I say halal with a bracha, when ultimately, again, Yom HaTzmaut reminds me of one profound phrase, which is, V'amarlach b'damayich chayi, V'amarlach b'damayich chayi. The Jewish blood, the Jew of self-sacrifice, through which we have the gift. There's simcha, but it's a simcha that's intertwined with incredible loss and profound tragedy. Should we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course we should. Hallow with a bracha. Rav Avadji Yosef seems to say no. He goes on, Va'afapi, paragraph base, Va'afapi sheyesh me'achoreni dorenu shesorim sheyesh levarech, even though there are many who go ahead, and from our generation, we'll discuss them, and say, you should make halal with a bracha. He says, Mikom makom, havelei safek, amen daznil lekula. So Rav Avadji Yosef says something very interesting. He says, listen, I know that there are those who disagree with me. They're my rabbinic contemporaries, and we'll discuss their truths in just a moment. Rav Avadji Yosef says, you know that there's a principle when it comes to brachas. What's the principle when it comes to brachos? Safek brachos lahakel. When you have a doubt about a bracha, you resolve it leniently. Leniently means what? You don't say it. So Rav Avadji says, on a basic level, this is a halachic dispute in modern days. Modern days are meaning 60 years ago. This tshuva, I think, was from like 50, 60 years ago. You have to understand, you would think that by now, like, we would have an answer to this. But, you know, 70 years for Klal Yisrael is like a week. So this conversation, even the chief rabbinate will discuss, has had multiple different stances throughout the years. We'll get to that in just a little bit. So Rav Avadji Yosef says, I know that there are those who disagree with me. It's a halachic dispute about a bracha. And when there is a halachic dispute about a bracha, the simple and safest approach is, don't say it. Paragraph Gimel. V'chei no delimi pi magidi emesh agon afer adora pi of Tzi Pesach Frank Zatzal Hora Vehinik Bebeis Midrasho Shalolomar Klal Halo Biyoma Atzmut. So this is amazing, man. This is what I said before. He's calling Rav Tzi Pesach Frank. Rav Tzi Pesach Frank was one of the Gedolei Hador. He was the Rav, the Abbezin of Yerushalayim. Remember again, why does that name sound familiar? because he signed the declaration that we read on the first page, which called the establishment of the state Aschalta de Geula. Sivan Ratzi Pesach Frango is one of the signatories to that original proclamation that the establishment of the state is Aschalta de Geula. He doesn't say halal. Shalo lomar halal klal biyom atzmut. Now Ratzi Pesach Frank held, you don't say halal at all. V'taymo, so listen to this. He had two reasons for it. Number one, v'taymo b'pnei shedam yisrael nishpach l'rob ba'masin arab. First of all, again, like Rav Adi Yosef says, because of the incredible loss of Jewish life, and he also adds in the gami paat hamatzav hadati b'medina, and furthermore, again, because of the religious state of affairs in the Medina, which, by the way, just you should know that people often don't appreciate this, but the influence on religious life or the amount of religion built into day-to-day Israel today is light years ahead of where it was when the state was founded. Very often the religious communities had to fight for everything. And that's, we understand why that was, because historically they were not really so involved in the establishment of the state. So, you know, if you're not so involved in the establishment of the state, if you don't have a seat at the table, it's hard to make the rules. It's dramatically different today. There's still issues and there's still challenges. But again, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is saying, I'm unhappy with the religious state of affairs in the Medina. So number one, there's incredible blood that's been spilled. Lives have been lost. And number two, the Medina is not as strong as it should be. Mihu shapir dami lomar mizmori ahalo derech kriya ba'alma v'sulo. Therefore, Avadji Yosef says, I think that at the end of the day, that one should say halal, but without a bracha. One should say halal without a bracha. Mizmori tim derech kriya ba'alma v'sulo. So this is Rav Adi Yosef's psak. Recite all of the chapters of halal, but do not make a bracha. And again, I want to be clear. It has nothing to do with Rav Adi Yosef. See, this is the big mistake. People often assume that the halal discussion is linked to how you view the state in the messianic continuum. If you notice again, Rav Adi Yosef makes absolutely no mention of that. He says it's a very simple level. Number one, Hayyar is not the day Klal Yisrael was saved. It's not the day we were saved. Furthermore, again, it was that declaration that sparked war. Again, he's not complaining about that. He's just saying it as a state of fact, as a stated fact. And there was an incredible loss of life. You put this all together. Should you say the Kapit Lachav Tilim? Absolutely, because you have to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for the gift, but without a bracha. Paragraph Dalid. Another reason not to say halal. Hagam shezachin lo beres Hashem Yisrael ligbar alayvenu v'sinenu v'shu rabim v'atzumim u'mitziyodim b'meitiv aneshe v'atachmoshas. See, he says something amazing. Even though, again, Baruch Hashem, we were able to overcome our enemies. Even though they were greater in number, they were greater in skill, they had better weaponry. V'limros hakol hema karu v'nafalu. And even though we defeated all of them, look what he writes. He says the following. Here he says something quite interesting, which is a third argument. If you skip down a little bit to the underlying lines, Elatam Mishum Shenes Zein Yotzei Megedra Teva. So Rav Adi Yosef makes an amazing observation. He quotes the Gemara Masechah Shabbos. So the Gemara says, why do we say Hallel? Right? My Chanukah. Gemara says, my Chanukah. What is Chanukah? And what does the Gemara discuss when it says my Chanukah? It talks about the Nes of the Pach Shemen, the Nes of the oil. And the Gemara clearly indicates that the reason we say Hallel on Chanukah is because of the miracle of the oil. Ask Rav Adi Yosef, I don't understand. Why don't we say Chanukah for the military victory? Right? That's to be honest, that's even a bigger miracle. That's a more necessary miracle. So Rav Adi Yosef says something amazing. This is an incredible chiddush. He says Hallel is only recited on events that are clearly supernatural in nature, which makes sense. According to the Gemara, what's the paradigmatic example of a halal-worthy event? Kriyas Yamsof, splitting of the sea, a supernatural event. So Rav Adi Yosef says, from the Gemara, everyone thinks that it's just a salvational event that triggers the obligation for halal. He says, no, it's a salvational event which is supernatural. That's why even for Chanukah, what generates the halal obligation is not the military victory. What generates the halal obligation is what? Is ultimately, again, the miracle of the cruzivore, the miracle of the Pach Shemen. Therefore, he says the following, Shein Hormala Al-Nisim Nistar Ma'al Kodesh Baruch Hu Osamim Choles Look at the last two of the underlined lines. Even though we were privileged to overcome our enemies, even though again, this was quote unquote, this did not border on supernatural. Now the truth is, sometimes it's hard to figure out that line between supernatural and natural. One, I think, can make a very cogent argument. The fact that Eretz Yisrael has won its wars is nothing short of supernatural. Especially given the fact, the circumstances under which they fought. But Rabbi Yosef is saying, is the definition of supernatural is something that is clearly outside of the bounds of natural normative activity. And he ends off so beautifully by saying, paragraph Dalid, V'Hashem Yisparach Yachish Lega Aleinu Gu'ula Shalema Yisrael Nosha V'Hashem Chuas Olim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us Gu'ula Shalema. V'no Delo Shir Chadash Al Gu'ula Seinu V'Al Pid. So really quite a beautiful children of Avad Yosef, very Zionistic and very loving of the establishment of the Medina, but quoting real halachic issues with reciting halal with a bracha. Essentially four different reasons. We're also introduced to Tzvi Pesach Frank, who now we see in print is not saying halal because he's unhappy with the religious milieu of the newly established state of Israel. And this all leads Rabbi Yosef to one simple approach. He says, listen, you could accomplish the same thing, just sidestep the bracha issue. He says, I think the bracha is problematic. I think, again, it's not so clear that you should say the bracha. Say halal, say the entire halal, but omit the bracha. That's Rabbi Yosef. Now, I'm not really here spending really all that much time on the opinion of what we'll call even right of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Obviously, again, there are other tshuvas, there are other approaches. Tere Karta has an approach. There are many different approaches. I feel like we covered that a lot more last year when we spoke about the Satmar Rebbe and his hashkafa of the Medina and his profound halachic issues with the Medina. Mamish seeing it as not only something that's not good, but something that's inherently evil. We discussed that. What I will show you something interesting, just to go out of order for just a moment. If you take a look at number 11, so I'll share with you an interesting, I'm going a little bit out of order here. If you take a look at number 11, so the Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher. So Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher lives from 1895 to 1983. He's born in Warsaw, comes to Eretz Yisrael in 1924 at the behest of the Ger Rebbe. The Ger Rebbe sends him, he establishes the yeshiva, he brings the Ger Rebbe as well. Now Rav Kasher was an incredible, I mean, he wrote the Torah Shalema, which is like an encyclopedic work on Chumash, and Hasein Talmud Chacham. Rav Kasher was also an incredible and fervent lover of Eretz Yisrael and of Medinat Yisrael. In fact, Rav Kasher felt, this is incredible, that after the establishment of the state, he wanted to institute that we should begin to drink the fifth cup at the Seder. We should begin to drink the fifth cup of the Seder. That's how much he mamish felt that the establishment of the state of Israel was literally, again, an incredible cog in the wheel of Gula. So Rav Kasher asks, look what he does in this tshuva over here. He says, the title is quite interesting. He says, Hatam shaharbe me'acharedim hasmechim al kum ha-medina ein omrim hala b'yom ha'atzmot. So it's an interesting title, right? The reason why many of the Haredim, who are happy with the Medina, don't say Halel on Yom HaAtzmaut. Meaning, so if you're not happy with the Medina, then it's obvious why you're not saying Halel on Yom HaAtzmaut. What about those who are essentially supportive of the Medina? Why aren't they saying Halel on Yom HaAtzmaut? So look what he writes over here. He says, first on paragraph base, Chuvasi Bevadai, skip down a little bit, Gimel. Shira, Amr Lema Kadosh Baruch Hu, Masa Yadai, Tovim Bayam, Va'atem Omrim Shira, Uma Omru Ein Anu Korban, Halo, skip down a little bit, Umavarme Alocha Zoom, Shekedei Laharos Mida Zo Shein Simchasin Ushleim Mishum Shishu Suenu, Mukrechas Haisa Lava Aide Shemasa Yadav Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yidbu Bayam, Lachin Tiknu Chachamisho Ligmor Asahal Achirim Gam Shalavarech Klal. So Rav Kasher says something amazing. If you'll notice again, and this is very pertinent for us because we just experienced this, which is we have a dramatic halal switch on Pesach. First days in Chutz La'aretz, we say halal. We say halal on both days. Then comes Chol HaMoed, last days we say chatzi halal, right? Halal, right? Partial halal. Why? So the Gemara says, because you can't say a complete halal on Shvi'i Shal Pesach. Why not? Because Yibon Shalom says, my creations are drowning in the sea, and you're going to go ahead and say halal, so, which is amazing in of itself. The Yibon Shalom says, the Klal Yisrael, and this is a very important idea, the Jewish people have not cornered the market on God. God belongs to all humanity. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saving Klal Yisrael, he says to Klal Yisrael, your salvation comes at the expense of the lives of my other children. And that hurts me. You should rejoice, but even your rejoicing should be muted. When your salvation comes through the death of others, so the Jew has a muted celebration. The Jew does not go crazy with salvational simcha when he knows that his redemption came on the heels or came on the back of someone else. So Rav Kasha says something amazing. He says, if you look at the last paragraph, paragraph Hey, Al Yisod Halacha Niska Le'el, Nogu Harbi Me'acharedim Shlalomar Halo B'yom Atzmot, Af Api Shebevadai Kol Echad Ve'echad Mechavim Baharbi Psukim Shebetfil Leholos Hashem Yisvar Pecholei V'nefesh, Shezika Osan Aliros Pekum HaMedina, Uba'anisim V'neflosher, In the beginning, Mochamos. So Rav Kasher says something amazing. He says, there's another reason not to say hello. Now, he does not subscribe to this. Rav Kasher will see how that you should say hello with the bracha. But he says, another approach is that, look, the establishment of the State of Israel came not only through the loss of Jewish life, but came through wars. Wars claim many, many, many different lives and innocent lives in that mix as well. Rav Kasher says, we don't say hello in situations like that. So he's being malamid tzchus. He's trying to understand why it is that there are segments of the Haredi community which seem to support the Medina, but don't go ahead and say halal yom atzmut. Now, this approach is very interesting, except it's not totally true, meaning we do go ahead and we say halal on Hanukkah, even though, again, Hanukkah was a time where we did battle with the Syrian Greeks. Even Purim, as we said before, does have a din of halal. It's just that the Gemara says we fulfill the halal obligation through other things, through the Megillah, things like that. But again, that was also a loss of life. Okay, but nevertheless, it's another approach. Take a look at number 9. So this is from the Shalos HaTshuvos Kol Mevaser. So it was written by Rav Meshulam Roth. So, and you could see Rav Meshulam Roth. You could see his biography here. So again, born in 1875 in Poland and dies in Bnei Brak in 1963. He becomes ultimately again an active member of the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael. Was a prolific writer and an outstanding Talmud Chacham. So look what he writes. So number 9. Be'inyan, im lomar halo v'shechiyon b'yom atzmut. Should we say halo v'shechiyon b'yom atzmut? So look what he writes. Get ready for this. Paragraph base. Hine, ein safek. The 5th of Iyar, which was established by the government and the members of the Knesset, who are the elected officials of the majority of Klal Yisrael, okay? Pretty straightforward, right? So Rav Meshulam Roth says, ain't suffic. It's just amazing. So much of this is how you internalize the events around you. Through what prism do you see the events? Rav Adi Yosef, do you know what Rav Adi Yosef, one of his crown accomplishments was? Rav Adi Yosef goes down in history as someone who was matir more agunos than everyone else. In every single war of Eretz Yisrael, there are always agunos. Rav Adi Yosef was the one who was matir agunos. So I thought to myself, maybe that's why the catastrophic losses of war affected him so much more. You see, everybody's celebrating, but he has to deal with the fallout of war, right? He has to deal with the families torn apart. He has to deal with the agunas. He has to deal with all these crazy situations. So it's possible that for him, as much as he was happy about the establishment of the state, he understood not the collateral damage, but the collateral results of that dramatic decision. And that's how he internalizes these events. Ultimately, again, through the prism of loss. How could I say halal shulling on a day that was the gateway, ultimately, again, to so much incredible simcha, but also feels so much incredible tsar and heartbreak. Rav Meshulam Roth, ain't suffik. You don't usually find that type of wording in halachic literature. Ain't suffik. No doubt. No doubt. There's not even like another side of the coin. There's not even another opinion. It goes without saying that he, ER, which was established by our duly elected government, and the majority of the Rabbanim agreed that is a day of incredible salvation, celebration of our freedom. Mitzvah la'asoso simcha v'yomta v'omar halal. So Rav Meshulam Roth says, now by the way, I put in something very interesting. If you'll notice again, another point of contention between Rav Agi Yosef and Rav Meshulam Roth is what? The nature of Yom HaTzmut. You see, according to Rav Agi Yosef, he views it as a declaration. He doesn't view it as a day of national independence. Rav Meshulam Roth says, no. When we declared the state of Israel, that was a statement of independence. We were free. Yes, war came right afterwards. But in that moment, when the Jewish people declared that this land of Israel is once again the national Jewish homeland of the Jewish people, ein freedom gedola mizo, right? That's freedom. That's freedom. The fact that war then came afterwards, that's a secondary issue. He goes on. If you skip down a little bit, he says, paragraph Gimel. So actually, skip down a little bit to paragraph Dal. There's a lot more information here, which we're not going to go through. But he said, "V'inko menida didan diketarti." So Meshulam Roth says that with the declaration of independence for the state of Israel, two things happened. Number one, hatzala mimisa l'chayim. There was a salvation from death to life. In other words, what does that mean? That the declaration of the state of Israel, that Yom HaTzmaut represented Hatzalam Misa L'Chaim. There was a Jewish homeland. Remember again, a day before the borders were closed. That day, the borders are open. Remember again, that means Jews have a homeland to go back to and no one could shut them out. Rav Meshulam Roth says, that's Hatzalam Misa L'Chaim. That's salvation. Jews were saved. Jews were saved. Jews finally had a place to go. And for the first time in 2,000 years, we were not under the thumb. We were not under the thumb of a foreign government. I have to tell you something amazing. Do you know Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook has an incredible halachic position. Which is, he holds, you don't have to do kriya when you go to the Kotel today. Don't have to do kriya. What do you mean? It's a mefurish halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you have to do kriya. So Rav Tzvi says something amazing. He says that the din of Ari Yehuda b'Chorbanon, that seeing Yerushalayim in a state of destruction, is a din in Riboniyut Yisraeli, Jewish control, Jewish autonomy. When Klal Yisrael is in charge of Eretz Yisrael, so Ari Yehuda no longer have a state of being in a state of destruction, even if what the Beis Hamikdash is not being rebuilt. You understand what that means? You see, when we think about the Temple Mount, you know, we think about the Dome of the Rock. And often we think that it belongs to someone else. But remember, whose soldiers are there, right? It's our soldiers. It's Eretz Yisrael's sovereignty. Okay, whatever the arrangement is. That no one needs my political commentary on that. Right, whatever it is, it is. But at the end of the day, it's ours, meaning Harabayit Biyadenu was not just a historical statement, it's a present day, it's not just Harabayit, it's Eretz Yisrael Biyadenu. So Meshulam Roth says, we're free. For the first time, we have Jewish autonomy. There's a Jewish government. Perfect? No. Highly flawed? Maybe. Depends on the day about who's getting indicted, you know, which day, you know, but whatever it is. Right? At the end of the day, it's a Jewish government elected by Jews. Does Judaism believe in democracy? No. We don't believe in democracy. I know this is not everybody's opinion counts. Not everybody's thoughts matter, right? We have actually a theological theocracy, right? Or I should say a theocracy is what we have, right? A monarchy based on theology. But those are details. Those are details. At the end of the day, we have a country for the Jews, governed by the Jews. So it says from Meshulam Roth, when we establish the state of Israel, two things happen. We are saved from death and given life. And ultimately, again, we are given freedom. Therefore, again, and he says, "Bevadai mitzvah la'asosiyam tov." Look at his wording, by the way. You see the strong wording? Ain't suffik. Bevadai. There's no like, I think. There's no like, Nira le'inai, it appears to me, it's bivados. But then he does something amazing. Paragraph hey. Al koponim yatzalan aladina, benido didan, de'in kan shum chashashu pikpo klal mishum baltosif. Rak adirabba, chiyuv mitzvah ulaso zechel and ace for the gboas yom atzmut liyom tov, v'simcha v'lom rabba, halo sholem, below dilug. So Rav Meshulam Roth explains that no safek, we should go ahead, and there are many other halachic principles that are brought up here that we're not going to get into, but it's no question Yom HaTzur should be observed as a Yom Tov. Halo b'li divug means no skipping, and also with a bracha. But watch how he ends. So this is great. This is very exciting. But look how he ends. Paragraph Vav. Mikro makom l'maisa likvoa halacha l'doros be'inyan birchas halo v'udavar m'chudosh achariat kufa arucha shal apayim shnos hagalos. But says Rav Shlomo like this. To actually establish a new Yom Tov and to mandate the recitation of halo with a bracha after 2,000 years, even though I think it's unequivocally clear that you should celebrate it as a Yom Tov and say it with a bracha, so this is amazing. And this is the incredible sign of a leader. See, Rav Meshulam Roth says, there's something even more important than saying Hala with a bracha on Yom HaAtzmaut. What's even more important? Jewish unity. Jewish unity is even more important than halal on Yom HaAtzmaut. And therefore, he says, what I'm concerned about is as follows. Even though to me, it's unequivocally clear that you have to say halal with a bracha, I won't go on the record with it unless everyone else agrees with me. Because otherwise, what's going to end up happening? We know what's going to end up happening, because it happened, right? This shul's going to do this, and this guy's going to do this, and I'm not going to dive in there because they do this. Great. So what have we accomplished? What have we accomplished? We're celebrating Jewish Independence Day. We're celebrating, ultimately, again, a Jewish homeland. And at what expense? At what expense? With machlokas? With infighting, with disagreements? So again, remember, and this, anyone will agree with this concept. If there's a choice between Halal and Yom HaAtzmaut to the bracha and Shalom and Klal Yisrael, of course you choose Shalom and Klal Yisrael. So Rav Meshulam Roth says, I told you what I believe, and I'm totally unequivocal in my approach to it. But what I'm concerned about is that if I paskin this way, and not everybody is on board with me, then what's going to happen? Agudos, agudos. Right? Then what's going to happen? Everyone's going to form their own splinter groups, and the achdus of Klal Yisrael will be eroded. The beauty of Yom HaAtzmaut is that the beauty of Eretz Yisrael is that Eretz Yisrael is a koach hama'achid. It is the glue of Klal Yisrael. It's what keeps. There are two glues of Klal Yisrael: Torah and Eretz Yisrael. Those are the things that keep us together as a cohesive nation. So how could it be that the celebration of the newly founded state of Israel is going to be a state of separation, is going to be a cause of separation? So on one hand, Rav Meshulam Roth is clear that he feels that the halacha is you should say halal, and you should say it with the bracha. On the flip side, he's a little bit reticent to go ahead and come out strong for it. Take a look at number 10, Rav Aviner. So Rav Aviner is the Rosh Yeshiva of Ataret Kohanim I never like saying Muslim quarter, and the soon to be Jewish, additional Jewish quarter of the old city. So, and again, a Rav in Beit El. So Rav Aviner writes the following. He says, he actually puts out, this is amazing, by the way. Rav Aviner gets the majority of his questions through, I guess the clarity, so SMS, right? He gets it through text messages. So somebody compiles the text messages at the end of every week and they send out an email. It's really fascinating. First of all, it's fascinating to see the questions he gets, which is really quite amazing. What's even more impressive is that I think he responds like instantaneously, which is very big muster to me. So he says as follows. He says, is it permissible to recite Hal Yom HaAtzmaut with a blessing, even the chief rabbinate of Israel ruled that it should be recited without a blessing? Now this is very important. The current Pesach Halacha of the State of Israel, of the Rabbanut of Eretz Yisrael, as it is today, is to recite Halal without a bracha. That is the current stance of the chief rabbinate. He listens to what he says. I heard with my own ears that the chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel, Harav Yitzchak Nissim, said that he once met the funny part also to read this is the English, which is often very entertaining. He says, he once met with that delegation from the religious kibbutzim, and they asked how the chief rabbinate ruled to recite Halal without a blessing. He responded that in truth the chief rabbinate needed to do this in order to avoid increasing disputes amongst the nation of Israel. It is better, he reasoned, that a majority recite halal without a blessing than a minority with a blessing. I.e., if we rule that halal should be recited with a blessing, only a minority of the people will accept this ruling. Whereas if we rule them opposite, the majority will follow. Which, by the way, seems to be the same logic of Rav Avadya Yosef, which is a very sound logic. No one, there's nothing wrong with reciting halal without a bracha because it's Pirkei Tehillim. So apparently the chief rabbi made a calculated decision. What's our goal? You know, sometimes if you have people sometimes focus on being right. Sometimes you have to focus on what's the goal. The goal is to get Am Yisrael to recognize the incredible miracle. How do we do that? So if we say halal with a bracha, we're going to disenfranchise some large segment of Klal Yisrael. Say halal without a bracha, and hopefully the goal would be that the majority of Am Yisrael would say halal. He says the delegation then asked him, what about one who wants to recite it with a blessing? So they asked Rav Yitzchak Nissim, who was the chief rabbi of Israel, keep the Rabbanut Paskin without a bracha. What happens if somebody wants to recite it with a bracha? And what did he say? He responded, a blessing will come upon him. Rav Shlomo Goren also ruled that halal should be recited on this day with a blessing. When Rav Goren was the chief rabbi of Israel, at that point in time, the position of the Rabbanut was to recite halal with a bracha. Baruch Hashem, we therefore merit saying halal on Yom HaAtzmaut with a blessing. So this is how Rav Avner Paskins, and in fact, this is how many in the religious Zionist community Paskin. In Merkaz HaRav, they recite halal with a bracha. In many of the yeshivot Hezder, they recite halal with a bracha, following really the psak of Rav Goren, and really the spirit of the psak of the Rabbanut as well. It was clear again that the Rabbanut made a calculated decision to move away from the bracha in order to further enfranchise people. But clearly again, there is a movement within the religious Zionist community to recite halal ultimately with a bracha. So essentially what I hopefully have done for you in just a little bit of time that we had is kind of painted for you the spectrum of opinions. We sort of Kasher spoke about again why some in the Haredi community don't say it at all. Again, we didn't focus on the more extreme views about the Medina being bad and therefore again no halal, but we sort of see Pesach Frank, we sort of Kasher, who felt again their reasons. Ultimately, there was an incredible loss of life. It's not the real Geula. The Medina is not as it should be religiously. Rav Avadya Yosef, who essentially said, hey, ER is not a day of salvation altogether. It's a day, ultimately, again, that actually was incredible declaration, incredible event, but that opened the door to war and loss of life. Therefore, Rav Avadya Yosef says, recite halal, but without a bracha. We saw a Meshulam Roth who said, absolutely not. On Hey ER, two dramatic things happened that hadn't happened in 2,000 years before. And number one, Klal Yisrael was saved. Klal Yisrael, we say, went from Misa L'Chaim. The borders are open. The land is open. Klal Yisrael has a lifeline. Number two, for the first time in 2,000 years, we had Ribonut Atzmaiyot. We were free. We were autonomous. We had absolutely no foreign government over us. Those two things are reasons, ultimately, again, to say halal. Rav Meshulam Roth saying, but I'm a little bit nervous to kind of go out this on my own. If everyone's willing to get on board with me, then we can all do this together. But I'm not willing to create a divisive ruling in Klal Yisrael. Rav Goren, even... we see Rav Yitzchak Nissim, Rav Aviner, and many others. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kohen Kuk, there are many others who hold that no, like Rav Meshulam Roth said, we recite halal on Yom HaAtzmaut with a bracha. I'm going to end with perhaps one of the most enigmatic opinions on this, which was Rav Soloveitchik Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. The Rav never said explicitly what one should do on Yom HaAtzmaut or not. And by the way, this was not because the Rav was controversy averse. He did not enjoy controversy. He had enough of it in his life. But it's also because, remember, the Rav, in a typical Brisker fashion, analyzed everything through the halachic prism. Everything is analyzed through the lens of halacha. Not through emotion, not through how you feel, not through what you think it is, through halacha. The problem we see, and this is really what came out of all this, is that it's hard to analyze Yom HaAtzmaut through the prism of halacha. Why is it hard to analyze Yom HaAtzmaut through the prism of halacha? Because it's the first time we've had to deal with this for 2,000 years. So because of that, it's hard to categorize it halachically. So because of that, the Rav has letters where he discusses Yom HaAtzmaut. He has letters to the RZA, to the Religious Zionists of America. It appears that he definitely was not in favor of reciting halal with a bracha. That seems to be clear. And it seems to be that he was on board with reciting halal without a bracha, which again is always the default position when you're not sure what to do. That's the safest approach. But I want to show you something amazing. If you take a look at number 12, and with this I'll conclude. So this is from a very interesting book called Thinking Aloud, written by Rabbi Emanuel Holzer. And essentially, what they did was they transcribed conversations with Rav Soloveitchik. Now, I find this book exceptionally, it's a cross sometimes between like humorous and disturbing. Well, why do I mean that? Because when you read, if you learn Rav Soloveitchik's Torah, the Rav is always very precise with his wording and is always very precise with the formulation of his ideas. What this book sounds like is that somebody was having a conversation, was holding a tape recorder there, and then transcribed the conversation afterwards. Sometimes, just the speech, it doesn't sound like the Rav. I should say, it doesn't sound like the Rav if, as you know him through his writings. So look at number 12. So in this book, there's a series of questions and answers. So the right, Yom HaAtzmaut, what should be done? Is the whole idea of Yom HaAtzmaut a proper idea? So then asked the Rav. So he says, I don't know. It's no idea. For my part, Yom HaAtzmaut could be Yom Yerushalayim. So what Rav was saying is, I don't really understand. What he's really focusing on, by the way, on is really what Rav Ad Yosef was alluding to also is, okay, we all know the historical significance of Hei'ar, but who's to say that's the day which has religious significance? Even if you want to attribute religious significance to the state of Israel, who says the day to do that is Hei'ar? I don't care about the date. In my opinion, there is no Kiddushas Hayom in the day. There's no holiness to Hei'ar. But the fact, the event of Medinas Yisrael requires Shevach Vaodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only on Yom HaAtzmaut, on 365 days of the year. So this is fascinating. It's fascinating. So the Rav, at least, now again, I do want to point out, just for the sake of full disclosure, Soloveitchik writes in other places, many other ways in which it appears clear that he does attribute some type of specialness, maybe not sanctity, but specialness to Hei'ar. And again, the Rav's position on Hallel is somewhat disputed by his students. But what I want to pick up on is this idea that Rav Soloveitchik says, whether it's a Yomtiv, not a Yomtiv, whether Hallel, not Hallel, with a bracha, without a bracha, he says, ultimately, again, it requires Shavach Vaodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's interesting. He says, but not only Yom HaAtzmaut, 365 days of the year. So what I would just counter to the Rav is as follows. I remember that one time I was having a conversation with someone on the Shabbos before Mother's Day. I had spoken something about Mother's Day in Shul. So the person said, this is Rabbi Silber, I'm so disappointed that you brought up Mother's Day in Shul. With this quote, it's so guyish. It's so guyish. I said, I'm curious, why do you say that? He said, because every, you know, of course, the best line, every day is Mother's Day. I said, tell me, Tzadikov, you treat your mother with incredible derech eretz every single day? You call her up every single day? You ask her how she's doing every day? You go ahead and you take care of her needs every single day? You're such a tzaddik that you're always taking care of your mother every single day? I said, the answer is you're probably not. I'm not a tzaddik either. So although there are certain things that should be done every single day, we don't do them every single day. So if you're not going to do them every single day, at least do it one day. So yes, Mother's Day should be every day, but it's not. And so I'll go on record. It's good to celebrate Mother's Day. Father's Day is even better, by the way. Right? And it's good to celebrate Mother's Day, right? And it's good, ultimately, again, to be makir tov to the woman who brought you into this world. Should you do it every day? Absolutely. But at least make sure to do it. If you do it one day out of the year, at least you know you've got that one day in the bag. The Rav is right. Should one give shevach to avodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Hakamas Medinas Eretz Yisrael 365 days a year? Absolutely. But the truth is, most of us don't. Most of us go about our lives, and the truth is, again, because we're speaking openly and honestly, for us we have an incredible challenge in that not only are we in Gullus, but we have an exceptional Gullus. We have an incredible Gullus. The only thing missing from our Gullus is the Kosel, right? The only thing missing from our Gullus is the Makomos HaKedoshim. The only thing missing from our Gullus, you know, we often think, if only Eretz Yisrael could be brought here, Mamish, it should be the best of both worlds. Everything would be perfect. I could keep my Gashmias, and I could just bring the Ruchnias, Shalom HaYisrael, then Mashiach would come. It's a challenge for us. It's a challenge for us. Should Eretz Yisrael occupy a pivotal and prominent place in our hearts and our minds every single day? Absolutely. Like Rabbi Nachman of Breslov said, L'chol makom sh'ani holich, ani holich li Eretz Yisrael. Every single step a Jew takes is always in one direction, and that is to Eretz Yisrael. But at the end of the day, we often don't think about that on a daily basis. So I would just humbly suggest that you make sure that it's our avodah to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the incredible miracle of the state of Israel on this Yom HaAtzmaut. How you observe it is your own business. Whether you're a chassid or a vaji or seifi, you're going to say hello, but without a bracha. Whether you like Rav Kasher, and like Rav Meshulam Roth, Rav Aviner, Rav Sihu that Kohen Kok, and you're going to say a bracha, right? Whether ultimately, again, you're more like the Haredi Poskim, and you feel the whole Medina is not a good thing, whatever it is. Whether you're a big fan of the yeshivas, kolalim, and seminaries, whether you're a big fan of the kibbutzim, whether you're happy with the soccer teams, or whether you like the agriculture, whether you like the printing presses of Mossad HaRav Kook, or you like the separate beaches in Netanya, or you like the mixed beaches in Tel Aviv, whatever it is that in Eretz Yisrael speaks to you, all of us have to give shevach v'odah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because with all of its imperfections, and with all of the challenges that the Jews of Eretz Yisrael face, that we diaspora Jews face in our relationship with Eretz Yisrael, for the first time in 2,000 years, our homeland is open to us. For the first time in 2,000 years, the greatest challenge is finding a good deal on Google flights or Dan's deals, right? That's the greatest challenge. That's the biggest obstacle now. Should I go now? Or is it going to be off-peak a little bit later on? Could I use my miles? Not my miles. Should I stay at a hotel, rent an apartment? Which restaurant should I go out to? Now, the biggest shaila is which hashkacha could the whole, you know, if you get your family together in Eretz Yisrael, it becomes an existential crisis. Because the ability to find one place where everyone could eat, these are the nisyonos of Eretz Yisrael for us, many of us these days. Shechianu v'kiimanu v'yi'anu l'azman hazeh. 70 years ago, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us such a magnificent gift. And we dare not take it for granted. Hala with a bracha, hala without a bracha. Blue and white cookies, ragalach, chalent, potato kugel, whatever. Those are details. The most important observance of Yom HaAtzmaut is the one that occurs in here, is the one that occurs in the lathe, is the one that occurs in the neshama, is the one that says, Ribono Shel Olam, thank you for giving me back my land. Thank you, you know, I mentioned this in one of the shirim this morning. Thank you, Ribono Shel Olam, that when I get to go to Ben Gurion Airport, the first sight that greets me is that ridiculously oversized, Mashiach-sized mezuzah. Shechianu v'kimanu v'genu. You know, you can go to JFK, Dulles, Newark, you're never going to find the mezuzah. Not even on the kosher food stations. I mean, there's no mezuzahs. It's not ours. You walk into Ben-Gurion Airport, you can say whatever you want about the government. There is a Mashiach-sized mezuzah there. When have Jews ever seen an oversized mezuzah in an international airport? Where have we ever seen it? Not since the days of the second Beis HaMikdash has there been a mezuzah at points of entry into Eretz Yisrael. And these are the times in which we are living. And it demands of us, whatever our theological or spiritual affiliations may be, but it demands of us to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we should be zoche meretz Hashem, that in the zuchus of appreciating the great gift of the modern day state of Israel, that we should see speedily in our days the actualization of the rest of the messianic redemption process. I believe, this is my personal opinion, that the state of Israel is not only the aschalta de Geula. I don't believe it's the beginning of the Geula. I think like Rav Yehuda Cohen Cook writes, the Geula began long before, but the state of Israel is a major, major step forward. And hopefully, there are not too many more steps till the end. Hopefully, again, we're nearing the finish line of messianic redemption. Hopefully, the end, the beautiful end, is in sight. Hopefully, the footsteps of Mashiach could be heard in the not-so-far-away distance. In the zechus, in the merit of appreciating and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the great miracle that we were given 70 years ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the greatest miracle. The miracle of Mashiach, the miracle of Geula, the miracle of the ingathering of Klal Yisrael, the miracle of a rebuilt Beis HaMikdash, the miracle ultimately of Geula Shleim Amhera B'Yameinu.